This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Kind of feels like it's, you got one foot in the grave, I guess would be the way I would say it, is that the Knicks go down to Miami. All you want is a split. Game three is a disaster. Game four is not all that much better. Never felt like they were going to win the game. And now you travel back to New York for game five tomorrow in a, if you don't win this game, the season's over. You've never, ever come back from down 3-1. They've never, ever blown a up 3-1 lead. And it looks to me, and I think most people right now, that Miami is just the better team. So today's a, it's a tough pill to swallow kind of day here.
Yeah, but we're here for you. Call in, we'll talk about it. Because we don't feel good about it.
No, I don't know how you could. How could you?
You can't. You can't. I mean, there's this. I mean, you could try to make excuses, but I've gone down that road. It doesn't make me feel any better. Like that Jalen's dinged up, that Julius's ankle.
Yeah, you know, I'm sick of it. I don't want to.
No, I'm just saying.
Honestly, I don't
no
want to hear it. I mean, Jimmy Butler's banged up. Hero's not playing. Oladipo's out. It's like you're in the postseason. Everyone has these injuries. Everyone has these issues. It's a terrible excuse. I'm not saying you're making it, but I don't even want to bring that up.
No, what I'm telling you is that like I tried. It doesn't work. It's not. I mean, it doesn't make you feel any better. You watch these games and you say to yourself, I think Miami's better. And that was not the feeling you got before the series started. And maybe it should have been.
So you think we were kind of overlooked Miami coming into the series?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And I think it was fair to a certain degree though, because of how their regular season went, how they looked trying to get themselves into the actual meat of the playoffs, losing the first play-in game, not leading the second playoff game until, you know, just over 2 minutes left in the game. And then I think we were just using maybe Giannis's injury as the reason why, and Jimmy Butler was awesome. Why Miami got through Milwaukee, and we looked good against Cleveland.
Really good against Cleveland.
Right. But Cleveland isn't Miami.
And I think that was our misstep.
Well, and I think also not taking the time to mention, too, that Miami was got themselves into Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, but again, you look at this Miami team, and it's not overwhelming. There's nothing about it that makes you... I mean, Butler is wonderful. Wonderful. And Adebayo's a really good player. But there's very little, at least for me, on this Miami team that I look at, I'm like, oh, God.
The coach.
Coach, yeah. Well, you know what? I undervalued all of that.
Yeah,
I
the
did.
Coach, Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. This team, Kyle Lowry, all of a sudden in the playoffs.
Kevin Love has played well.
Yeah, but I mean, they've had Strus last night. I mean, they got guys that they play the right way. They're well-coached. And I think it's tough as a player on the Knicks right now to look at a team that's similar to you. And like last night, good example, like you led for 33 seconds and every time it felt like you were, you know, trying to gain some momentum and were going to fight back, they had an answer. It was a big three. It was an offensive, whatever it was, they always had an answer for you. And that's demoralizing. It is.
It's terrible.
Because you're getting like what your calling card all season has been, it's been your resiliency, your toughness, the rebounding, all these things, and now you're going up against a team that's doing all those things to you, but just doing them better.
They're better than you. That's it. And that's the way we started the show today. And we could sit here and wax poetic about how this isn't going well and that's not going well. I think the bottom line for me, and this is what's so troubling, is Miami's just better. They're a tougher team. They're a better coach team. Their star player is better. They're a better shooting team. They play together as a team better. Like all the little nuances that you look at and say, do the Knicks have the advantages? They don't.
And I think there's something to be said about the experience in this series.
I think that's fair.
I think Kevin Love, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, the coach, I mean, the other players that were on this team last year when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Because when you look at, I mean, important guys on our team, like Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickley especially, like, they were important to this team's success getting to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're getting to the playoffs, and now they're not the same players. They're not. Mitchell Robinson wasn't good last night, hasn't really been good in this series.
Dreadful last night.
Which is a problem, because he doesn't bring anything offensively, as opposed to Bam Adebayo, who does...
everything.
Right.
Handles the ball, shoots the ball, rebounds the ball, defends, everything. Set the whole offense up through Adebayo.
And they're asking
15-foot jumpers is money.
Right, and you're asking a lot from Jalen Brunson.
Too much.
Especially with him And he won't say it. It turned his ankle. Caleb Martin, dirty play last night, too.
That was a dirty play. I mean, it benefited the Knicks, right? They got three shots and then they got the ball.
It has no benefit if, I mean, Jalen Brunson keeps tweaking his ankle.
No, but they're physical and they go all the way up to the line and a little past
Jalen Brunson's getting the crap kicked out of him.
You don't think that's part of their game plan?
Of course it is.
Let's cut off the head of the snake?
Of course it is. Has to be.
Right?
Yep.
So somebody else got to raise the level of their game. And to be honest with you, I don't know that that's possible.
There are too many turnovers. Again, yeah,
they
got
beat on the glass, too many turnovers. It's the same thing. Oh, I mean, really. I mean, this series, outside of the first half of game one and the final couple minutes of game two, Miami has by far been the better team. Which is tough.
And I think that was part of the reason you heard some of the stuff you heard last night, outside of the Mitchell Robinson stuff, which is just, it was infuriating. But like some of the Julius Randle stuff that he's taking some heat for today is just maybe they want it better. That's like just a player that doesn't really know what's happening, and maybe he's trying to send a message to his teammates, but it's like no player ever wants to go into anything and admit that the other team is better. And I think there's a certain point during a game or a series when you're just like, you know what?
It's the truth.
I can't say it, but the team is just...
But if you start to think that, then aren't you kind of cooked?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does it not feel they're cooked now?
It feels like it. Here's Tom Thibodeau on the approach to Game 5 tomorrow night.
You got to win four to win a series. So all we're thinking about is win the next game, go quarter by quarter. You know, win the first quarter, win the second quarter, win the third, win the fourth. The next day we're worried about the next day. Just all we're doing is thinking about the next game.
The only thing I said this to start the show, that I care about right now, don't lose it at home. Have a little bit of pride. Go out there, win this game. And then you know what? You're one win away from people going crazy. So that's all I ask for. Go out there. Everything you have tomorrow night, somehow find a way to win this game and put some of the pressure back on Miami. That's it.
If you can do it, yeah. Chip away at it. Chip away. I mean, listen, the only game you won in this series was game two. And you shot 40% from three and Jimmy Butler didn't play.
And you barely won.
I mean, you finished out that game strong. I mean, what did you score? I think it was 24-12 in the last 7 minutes, but you were down six.
Correct.
With the last 7 minutes. So, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, that would be the rallying cry.
What's amazing now is the NBA postseason, like the regular season doesn't even matter all that much anymore. Look at these teams.
Yeah, but why are you surprised about that? That's how they treat it.
But we don't
treat it because we can't afford to treat it that way.
But it used to be like if you're the one seed or the two, like one or the two are going to the NBA finals. Not you have a seven, you have an eight, right? It's amazing the teams.
It could
that
be
are,
one of those years, but I mean, I don't. The Lakers, I think, is a little bit different just because of the deals that were made. I mean, that's
sure, but
it's
I
a
mean,
remade team,
and when you're an older team too, what's the impetus for the Lakers to really put their nose to the grindstone in the regular season?
You also have arguably the best player of all time on your team.
Yeah, and they have no answer for Anthony Davis in that series.
The way he played defense last night,
they
too?
Have no answer for him.
He would frustrate the crap out of me.
Well, because Anthony Davis is either going to give you like 35 and 16 or barely play.
Right. It's like when he chooses, he can be one of the best players in the league, and then he'd just be like indifferent.
You know who saw him in person back in college?
You did.
You know who I was with?
Duke.
Andrew Gundling.
Oh, Gundy.
Yeah.
Why were you with Gundy in college?
We were at the station. I think Raymond was at the station. You were not yet. RJ was not yet. We had the final four on the station.
Oh, I thought you meant when you were down in Raleigh.
No, it was horrifying.
We went down to New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
We were sent by the station, and we did shows live from Radio Row.
Is that when you guys drove? Did you guys drive down there?
No, because I've had it.
To New Orleans?
No, you didn't drive, did you?
No. But we almost missed our flight on the way home.
Of course. I thought you meant when you were a young journalist.
No, not when I was a young journalist. I was well into my 30s at this point.
Yeah, but when you were a young journalist, you said you were well into your 30s.
That was younger 30s.
Younger
though.
30s, okay.
Yeah. What do you consider to be, where's that line in the sand of when it's not
the voice of the Campbell Camels.
Young journalist anymore.
30.
30?
32.
32.
Right.
So when I said young journalist, I was a young journalist down in the Carolinas.
I would think like fresh out of school.
That's a baby-faced journalist.
Yeah, like so 28, young journalist, 27, 28.
Okay.
RJ, am I wrong?
He's on the phone.
Good talk.
He's on the phone.
You're correct.
You know what this is? This whole avenue that we've just been exploring about this journey and Anthony Davis.
What?
This is Dave once again. I'm good friends with Andrew Gundley. Once again, just slapping me in the face of proving how good friends they are.
We're very good friends. Mm. Why does my relationship and friendship with Andrew Gundley have any impact on you?
I think it's...
Or your baby.
I think it's, well, definitely not him.
Uh-huh.
But the friendship, I feel, I'm getting the sense it's built on fallacies. I think you only hang out.
What are you talking about?
You hang
Does
out
Andrew
with him
know this?
When challenged. That's all.
That's nonsensical.
I think we all have a friend like that. They disappear. It's brought to their radar. Hey, so-and-so thinks you're dropping off. Oh, yeah, I'll show them. That's you.
So you think I'm friends with Andrew out of spite.
I actually hate that you have done this.
Yeah, you're responding out of bulletin board material.
And yeah. Fallacies.
Yep. Fallacies.
It's all a lie.
And phallic symbols.
When was the last time you saw Gunley?
All of this is everything.
A couple of months ago. Yeah, so you're going to... You win.
So I'm gonna have a more recent viewing than you.
You're nailing it.
You win. You win, Dave.
RJ. I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
Is that how the conversation sounds?
No.
It sounds like one of his vacations with his buddies. Name. Locked in?
Locked in, no.
Oh, still not locked in?
Locked in, no.
Are we down to two?
Yes.
Anthony and Luca.
I can't tell you that.
Is the middle name the same on both first names?
Yes, but you won't get it. Yes. The middle and obviously the last name are in. The first one, and I would actually probably get stabbed with a stapler if I told you.
No, I'm not asking you to tell me, but the middle name is locked in.
Yes.
And that will go with either of the first names that are up for debate.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, is there one first name you like better and one Ange likes better?
I think we're on the same page, but we just want to leave ourselves a little bit of, because here's the problem, and I'm sure you've... Well, I actually don't know. I know Rick left the hospital at one point, which I don't think you can really do it.
Which is ridiculous.
Without Why? A name.
Because that's just you being you.
No, I wanted to try the name on for a little bit.
Yeah. What does that mean, try it on? It's not a suit from Macy's. You don't try on a name kind of for
is.
A little bit.
It kind of is.
It's kind of not. It doesn't work like that.
Here's why we're not actually telling people. It's not because we're being super private, this or that.
You don't want people to jump you.
No, when you tell people, you can't really take it back. Oh, we changed it.
You can do whatever you want.
No, you can, but it's weird. So we're kind of really taking we have a little under 2 months. Our goal is to really nail it down here in the next couple weeks. But I don't think it's crazy what Rick did. They should let you leave.
No, they should not. You have to fill out the birth certificate.
So you can't. I had to call.
What if you get home and you're just like, oh, no, I made a mistake.
Right. Then you swap. What happens if you get home and you have the wrong baby?
Has that happened?
You never heard those stories?
I always thought that they were like urban legends.
Yeah, I thought they weren't real.
No. It's a matter. You guys are unbelievable. No, that happens.
It shouldn't.
Well, of course it shouldn't, but it does. You know what else does? Knicks calls. Let's go to Mike in Deer Park. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Yes, how you doing? I'm calling about the Knicks, man. I've been a fan of the Knicks for 25 years or better, man. And what I'm seeing in the playoffs is the worst. I'm watching Tom Thibodeau being out-coached. Just out-coaching every form of the fashion, man. I'm watching Jimmy Butler for two straight games come in the game and set the tone of the game. From the point he scored, the 2 point he started off yesterday with the 3 point, he's setting the tone of the game, and I don't see nothing. I don't see Tom Thibodeau doing nothing. It's really embarrassing what the Knicks is showing us, man. I believe we should just get rid of everyone.
So let me just ask you this, though, Mike. When they entered the series a week and a couple days ago, were you riding high after they beat Cleveland?
I was too high.
Okay. So maybe you're just so emotional that with every win and every loss, you're so emotional that you can't see the forest through the trees. Is that possible?
Hey, Dave, 30 years, man, I've been emotional. All my friends left me alone, Dave, because I'm the only Knicks fan, man.
All right, but so what? But support you. So listen, Mike, maybe Miami's just better than the Knicks are right now.
But you guys just said it yesterday. Earlier this morning, man. Who they got, we don't got. I see guys getting wide open shots, Dave. I'm watching it. To me, it's the coach being out-coached. I'm watching Russo, guys that are coming off the bench, they're being out-coached. It's as simple as that. And it bothers me. I'm watching them being out-coached. It's not that the guys are better. They're being out-coached.
He thinks they're being out-coached.
I think there's a lot of people that feel that way, and I think it's the easy thing to say. I would like someone just calling with the examples of, like, Tibbs isn't making adjustments. Okay, well, what adjustments would you like him to make? Like, show me, give me examples of why he's being out-coached.
I mean, they are missing open shots all over the place.
Right.
All over the place.
And then on top of that, I mean, again, is Tibbs known as an offensive genius? No, he's known as a guy who makes his players work hard and play great defense. And I told you before the show or during the show that, I mean, I saw a graphic that 45% of the Heat shots last night were uncontested.
Right. And it's not like the Heat shot great last night.
No. Especially in the fourth quarter. They were awful in the fourth quarter. They shot 27% in the fourth quarter.
Got to be better, especially home tomorrow night. Mike in the truck. Good morning, Mike. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning to the company. I just want to say this. Everybody's talking about Thibodeau firing him, and it's not the coach's fault. I want to remind people that in the beginning of the season, nobody expected this team to make it to the playoffs. When we did make it to the playoffs, nobody expected them to beat the Cavaliers. We beat the Cavaliers. And then everybody was calling for Miami, which is a good matchup. On paper, statistically, it's a good matchup. The Knicks are better. So what we got to do, we got to give credit to where credit is due. Thibodeau took this team and made it to the second round. Are we out of it? No, not yet, because we still have Game 5 on Wednesday, which we could win at the Garden, and we could move forward from there. It's like you said yesterday, one game at a time. That's one. Good win for the Yankees yesterday. If this was another organization, everybody would give in high in praise with the injuries that we have and that we are above 500. So, therefore, leave Evan Boone alone. He's doing the best that he could with these checker pieces when we playing chess. So that's what I really wanted to say. Like, let's go, Knicks. We still got a chance. Let's go, Yankees. And I can't wait for football season. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Oh, he's excited. I mean,
it's a good man.
It's 4 months away, and the guy's already through the roof.
Everyone's excited.
How could you not be?
Speaking of excitement, so Connor Bedard.
To Chicago, huh?
To Chicago. And I've said Chicago the entire time because I think it's just good for the NHL. Like, they can't afford to have Chicago die as a market again. Like, when I first got to Chicago, when I played with the Wolves for that half a season, they're done. No one was going to Blackhawks games. But they, I guess the second they got the first overall pick,
right,
they sold almost $2 million in season tickets.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. They had to stop selling season tickets last night.
Amazing.
It got to that point.
Kid's a stud.
All right, good for
them. And they kind of screwed it up a little bit. I don't know if you watched it.
I did not. What happened?
they hadn't done the top three picks yet. And then poor Weeks, he's like, oh, and there's the first movement we have. It looks like Columbus has the third pick. And they're, well, we haven't really flipped that one yet. And then there was a star.
Oh, really?
There was a star next to the Blackhawks on the board. And everyone's like, what does that star mean? Oh, look who has the first pick. It's the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, boy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow we have Kenny Smith.
Yeah, I don't like North Carolina basketball.
So I asked you, though, because I said, Dave, you should read this book. And you're not really an avid reader.
Avid?
You don't read.
He doesn't read at all.
I've read one book in the last, 7 years.
How's that Coach K book coming?
93, page 93.
Where were we last summer?
We finished the summer at 93, and we're going to pick it back up at 93 when we get to this summer.
Anywho, so I asked you, though, why do you dislike Carolina basketball, North Carolina, so much?
I told you, 82 championship game.
Right. But that led you to... It's such a perfect encapsulation of what was to come in your life. You are best friends with a kid.
Yeah.
Who was a Carolina fan.
Lived four houses down from me. Bus stop conversation every morning. Huge Carolina fan.
And he went on to move and basically kind of...
set up his life around Carolina basketball,
He moved to Chapel Hill.
Yes. He has an insurance business in Chapel Hill now.
And you went on to hate Carolina all this time.
Right.
42 years later. How old were you? 9?
It was 82.
So all these years later... And 41 years later, and you were in his wedding, Left early. Now you never talk
again. I was not in the wedding.
You were at the wedding.
I was at the wedding. It was a football Sunday. And I had told I'm going to leave early. And they're like, you're not going to leave early. I was like, I'm going to leave early. And I ducked out of the wedding so I can get to the Giants game.
And literally never recovered.
And have not spoken to him since his wedding.
Wow.
He sounds borderline crazy, though.
Crazy. Which, by the way, ended in divorce. So.
And surprise, surprise.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Do you feel validated in leaving?
Yes.
Knowing that's how it ended?
100%.
Wow.
Divorce!
100%.
So hold on.
All right.
Time off for a second. So was it, when you guys had these bus stop conversations, mm-hmm. was it ever stated to you that like his lifelong dream was to move from New York down to North Carolina?
He used to write handwritten notes to Dean Smith and get full on replies.
So he wanted to play or he wanted
to
be
in? Well,
no,
he was never going to play. So he wanted to like ensconce himself in North Carolina basketball.
He's you though. He's you with a different team.
Not really, though. Dave's not going to like move his life to go be around Georgetown basketball.
No, the Giants, they just happen to be here.
Well, they're here.
Yeah. You're going to secretive events. You have invites.
That's right.
You are him and he is you.
He's weirder than me.
Maybe you're too similar.
And you're both stubborn enough literally never to not to talk again for 20 years.
Well, that was his decision. I tried to continue the friendship and he was just like, my wife doesn't want me to talk to you because he left the wedding. I was like, all right, that's fine.
Let's call him.
And then she left him.
Well, it's his loss.
Do you think you were that? You think you were the pivot? Like it all changed that day. That
you think that they didn't make it because I left the wedding?
No. Well, he stuck up for you. She shot him down. She won, and years later it festered. Divorce.
I really don't know.
Call him.
You feel justified at least.
When I found out they got divorced, I was like, "See, I win."
You fist pumped. You did a fist pump. You did a little dance.
There was no fist pump, but it was like a you know
choo,
what?
Choo.
I win. He lost. I won.
That's your best friend.
We were very good friends.
Yeah. It's clearly not his best friend anymore.
No one won.
When we used to be sick on the same day at school, we would be home and talk on the phone and do like sports trivia for hours and hours.
This was meant to be your lifelong best friend.
And now you celebrate his divorce.
Well, she was terrible, though.
No, he probably realized that. It was affecting his other friendships. So he said, you know what? I'm done.
Okay. Listen.
Now the poor guy's living by himself, no friends in North Carolina.
I sent him an email after the Giants won the Super Bowl over the Patriots. I sent him a long email.
So he didn't get remarried?
Not that I know of. Sent him a long email.
Well, send him something nice north. Like, do you know where he lives?
Somewhere in Chapel Hill.
Okay, send him something nice. Reach out.
What do you want me to do?
Something North Carolina. He loves North Carolina. Just something.
I want you to be a sympathetic human being. So that's what I want you to do.
You haven't talked in years. When you do reach out, you're like, hey, Jeff, just wanted to let you know the Giants won the Super Bowl. My life is great. Hope all is well. Oh, wait, you're divorced.
No,
Dave.
By the way, still married and in love.
No.
Regards,
you know, do you actually want to hear what it was? It was
eating a can of beans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Because he was a huge Giants fan, too. And I said, what a great day. I said, by the way, I don't know exactly what happened to us, but maybe we could kind of like, you know, reconvene and get lunch or something and hang out or talk one day. Crickets.
Nice.
Wow.
He hates you.
Yeah.
He does hate you.
So I tried.
You ruined everything.
What is the matter with you?
You know what? I give you credit. You actually tried. I give you credit.
I said, I don't really even know what happened. Who cares at this point?
I think you know what happened, though.
But you know what? They got married on a football Sunday, not me.
Yeah, but why are you pretending like you didn't? You know exactly what happened.
Well, I guess.
They left the man's wedding.
Well, because they got married. Who gets married on a football Sunday?
You cursed the marriage from the get-go. It was doomed from then.
Yeah, to that point, though, you know it mattered to him. It's like you punched someone in the face. Not sure what happened between us. Hope time can heal all wounds.
But why not? I mean, she had left him, or they had already divorced. We were buddies from the time we were like 4 years old. Why not? It's why like not let guys. Bygones be bygones? Just let's move on.
Like the guys of The Sopranos, the wedding, or whatever happened there.
Maybe he blames you for the divorce.
Well, how ridiculous would that be?
Don't tell him how to feel.
Why would he blame me for the divorce?
Well, because you were his ride or die. Like if Peter Suits left my wedding, I'd be upset.
You wouldn't get over it.
Clearly, it wasn't ride or die.
Ride or die up to a certain point. Once we get to the border,
you're rolling out of the
couch. It's ride or miss football. And you know what?
It's ride or Dave's going to open the door at 60 miles an hour and roll out.
Jump out while he's driving.
How many times do I have to tell you?
No, we get it.
I'm not missing football for you.
Yes.
For you, if a friend is imprisoned, if a friend is getting married, if the wife has to
go to the hospital.
I'm not going.
So, point here, and then we'll go back to actually sports. But I was just impressed that at 8 or 9 years old, you were you, and you're still you.
What does that mean?
You trace back these roots of who we know you to be now, and we make fun of you, right?
Right, yes, all the time.
That's been used literally forever.
That's always been me.
And before you were ever on the radio or had a show, doing things for content, you were just shedding friends to stay by your standards.
That's correct. If you can't live up to my very high standards of friendship, you're out. You're out.
Yeah, I don't know if that's friendship or not. That's how it seems like a one-way street.
That felt like very conditional.
You know what that felt like? A message to the three of us.
If you guys can't, you know, stay at a high level of friendship and do things the right way, you're out.
Define the right way.
Is Alex's bar mitzvah on a football Sunday? No. Is his bar mitzvah on the night before the start of football? Yes.
Yes, it is.
That's the way people do it.
So question, Ben and Alex getting married. Wife insists on a football Sunday wedding.
We'd have a major issue.
Good question.
No, wife insists.
No, but we'd have a major
issue.
And
their family's paying for it.
Less of an issue.
Can we have TVs at the game?
Nope.
He'd say they chose wrong. He would not bless the union.
It's all about this beautiful couple.
What kind of selfish woman is this? Why would she demand it to be on a
Sunday?
No, seriously. Why would she demand it to be on a football Sunday?
It just so happens that this Sunday is special for some reason. It's got to be this Sunday. It's a football Sunday.
Today they met.
I refuse.
Today
they met. You can get married, but I do not offer my blessing.
You there or not?
I think I'd have to go.
You mean you think you have to go?
Yeah, but I would be very unhappy about it. I tell you what, I have my phone out, ready to go the whole time. The whole time. Let's go to Malik in the car. Good morning, Malik. You're on 98.7. Hello,
Malik.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Rick Davis, what's going on, man? I'm calling about the Knicks. Now, I honestly don't think that they're going to come back from a 3-1 deficit, but I still think that the series is not over. Now, the Knicks, like you mentioned, Rick, about how they being, what adjustments do they need to make? Like they're being outcoached. They're being outsight. Miami, I mean Jimmy Buckets. He's a wounded warrior. They're not that great of a team. And the Knicks are living and dying by the three. And even they didn't take as many threes as they took in Game 3, but they still took a lot, and they still took a lot of mid range. And deep range perimeter shots. What they need to do is focus on their strength. They need to, you know, cut to the basket.
Scoring is hard for them now, though, Malik, right? I mean, scoring for the Knicks right now, Rick, is really difficult. You can see it's a chore. It's much easier for Miami to put points on the board than it is
the
Knicks.
It is. And that's for a reason. Go back to Game 1. The first half of Game 1, the Knicks dominated in the paint. Dominated. Come out in the second half. That stopped. I mean, they're forming a wall on Jalen Brunson.
Right.
Kick it out. Make your threes.
They can't.
They can't.
They can't do it.
And the game they made them was the game that they won.
So they played four games. They made them in one, and they're 1-3.
Yeah, but this is not... Here's the problem I have with that, because I don't necessarily disagree, but I would also say to that caller is that the Knicks attempted the 8th most three-pointers a game in the regular season. So this is not like just all of a sudden out of nowhere. He's like, you know what?
Let's just start hoist up threes. Right.
No, I mean, they're almost 36 threes a game during the regular season.
Something different about the playoffs, though. It's a different animal.
They're actually attempting less in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're a three-point shooting team. Every team's a three-point shooting team, though.
They're just not making them.
If you can't make threes, you're not winning. That's it.
Well, that's been the... and you can't, for some reason, get a defensive rebound last night.
That was terrible.
It's been nice.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Dan Riley sends in a tweet. He says, what if someone close to you is on their deathbed and you had to go on a Sunday because that's the last day they live? Now then do you sacrifice watching football? See, I think that's different because that's not their choice.
Well, you just go to the deathbed in the morning, though, no?
Well, if you have that as an option, depends how close the person is to you as well.
Well, of course, but I mean, is there a time time frame?
Well, let's just say you get a call at noon that someone close to you, it's not going well. Today's going to be the last day. I think you because they're not choosing to die on a Sunday.
Right, I'm not speaking for myself though. I'm there regardless.
You're there no matter what.
Yeah, someone close to me. Yeah, you spend as much time as you can with the person.
Well, they're done anyway, and they're out.
There's no saving you.
I'm not looking to be
There's
saved.
There's no saving.
I'm not looking to be saved.
They're done.
I mean, honestly,
they just want to hang out.
Say goodbye. I mean, they want to hang out. This is the last day, and they just want to, what do you want to do? Hang out, have a tongue sandwich with Dave.
What do you want a tongue sandwich for?
I don't know. Maybe that's their last meal they want to have.
They just want to see you.
I'll go.
You can't just walk in and say, hey, I know
Dave's. Would it be wrong to put the game on?
Yes.
It would be.
If the person wasn't a big-time Giants fan, yeah.
And if that's, like, they're like
oh, my God.
Like you can hear the last breath of this person.
Yeah, it would be wrong.
It would be wrong.
It's very morbid.
Even mute? Can I put on mute?
No.
No.
No, because you got to pay attention to the person. What's wrong with you?
Well, if it's on mute, I think I would. Plus, do they have full access of vocabulary? And,
yes.
I mean, they're, it's ending here.
Yeah, right.
The fact that this is even a question is
it's troubling. A real question, though. Look at him.
This was I got this tweet.
Like he's thinking about it in his head, how he could get away with watching the game and spending
Can I have
the last
it on
moments.
Mute as this person's life is slipping away.
Yeah. As you react to the game, because you're not going to react to it.
Dave lets out an audible. Oh, no. No, they're not dead. No, there was a fumble.
He's still with us, but he almost muffed a punt.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing I can do.
Yeah, right.
First down.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
They're trying to have like this really like emotional moment, and Dave is like, having a nervous breakdown because the game is on.
Bring yourself closer. You put your ear right up to them. Then they stubble out whatever they have left. And
oh, my goodness.
They say bye. But the second they go, I can be out of there.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Have a good life. All right, let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Vinny in Astoria. Good morning, Vinny. You're on 98.7.
Hi, good morning, guys. Love your show. How are you doing today?
You know, not the best day, but we're getting by.
I believe you. Hey, I just a couple of pointers on the Knicks, if I may, and maybe your opinion about it. I think they get out-rebounded. I think they get out-hustled, and they do not know how to defend versus this very, very horrible Heat team. And I just don't know what to say. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think you're right.
I think they definitely need to rebound better. Their defense in the fourth quarter was good enough. I mean, you gave up 19 points in the fourth quarter. The Heat shot 27%. It was the seven offensive rebounds that killed you, and the fact that you didn't shoot good in the fourth quarter.
I think they got rebounded.
They did.
They got crushed on the glass.
I just told you
they got destroyed on the glass, and there was no time worse than that first, 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. It was awful.
Oh, my God, they don't look like Knicks at all. I mean, Randall is, like, sleeping. They're stealing the ball out of their hand. I'm like, what is going on with these guys?
They didn't play well. I mean, again, I don't know how many times you have to go back to it. They're not as good as Miami. Miami is a better team. I did not think that was true. I didn't think it was the case. Having watched the series for four full games, Miami is better. I don't know what more there is to say about the
better
series.
Better or playing better, however you want to define it. They're better or they're playing better. I don't care how you want to frame it. But right now, I mean, you're not wrong. The only game you won, you shot really well. I mean, from 3-point, you shot 40%, and they had no Jimmy Butler, and you still had all you could handle.
Let's go to Marco in Brooklyn. Good morning, Marco.
Guys, am I the only one that gets annoyed when they cut to Julius Randle on the TV, and he looks so unenergetic, so miserable, so out of it? It's like, what's going on with this guy?
What's going on with this? He doesn't have great body language. His body language is not great.
What's the opposite of Eye of the Tiger? Because that's what he has.
Opposite of Eye of the Tiger. It's a good question.
He has bad
He's watching a song with the Eye of the Tiger.
That was really bad.
That was the opposite right there. Oh, that was bad. It's like the microphone in my mouth.
Yeah, better than yesterday's.
But yesterday I thought was fine.
Ambulance chasing.
No, I thought that was a little extra added.
That
was nice.
You
at
thought?
At the end.
Okay.
A little something extra. A little exclamation
point. Not part of the song.
I can take myself dancing.
This is not my best.
Itchy, itchy, yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Wee, wee, wee.
Let's go to Pete in the car. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I am not a Knicks fan, so I'm not bummed out like the rest of New York right now. I'm also not a Miami fan, so I'm just enjoying the series, enjoying watching guys hustle.
Who's your team?
But I want to give some. Sad to say, I'm a Rockets fan.
Ugh, how'd that happen?
I grew up in the '90s. Everybody was a Bulls fan or a Knicks fan, and the first team that won a championship that was not the Bulls was the Rockets. And we've had good years, we've had bad years, but you know, you just stick with it.
So you're living in New York, you're unsure what direction you're going to go in, and you jump on the Rockets bandwagon when the Knicks played the Rockets and went Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
He's gone. Well, did you not hear the boop?
He ran away.
Well, he should run away.
He ran away.
I mean, because you're going to attack him.
Well, he should be attacked.
Right. You're going to attack him.
You live in New York.
Yeah.
You're 94.
Okay.
You're like, oh, I don't know what team to root for. You don't think you'd jump on the Knicks bandwagon? You root for Houston?
I want to go with Houston.
Well, I don't want him on the show.
That was as simple as that.
That's that simple.
Okay.
I mean, is that what you want? You want us to be defined by people like that?
No, I was interested to hear what he had to say about adjustments.
I didn't hang up on him.
I think Raymond did.
Ray, did you hang up on him?
No, he hung up on himself. You didn't hear?
I didn't hear the boop.
It was right there.
Very dialed in.
Well, no, you're not dialed in.
I'm very.
You're not dialed in. You're clearly
the opposite of dialed in.
How dare I am so dialed in today?
No.
How dare you?
You're in bed still.
In bed?
Yeah, cuddled up next to Sherry in her naked body.
That doesn't sound terrible.
It doesn't sound terrible at all.
No, not even a little bit. Shooter Stanford. Good morning, Shooter. You're on 98.7.
Rick getting carried away again.
What do you mean getting carried away?
That was nice. You just talked about Dave's wife being naked in bed with him.
I'm trying to give him a visual.
Up.
I'm trying to give a visual.
I have some
we
breaking,
all got the visual.
Hang on, Shooter. I have some breaking news.
Big news. Jazz hands.
The Mets have signed Gary Sanchez to a minor league contract.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right, Shooter, what do you got?
Okay. So the Knicks, right? Like, you're an athlete. You're playing a team or you're playing a player who's better than you. What do? You work harder than them. You hustle. You get loose balls. You're scrappy. You do all that stuff, and you can beat them. And that's what we were all talking about yesterday, because clearly the Miami Heat have us outmatched in pretty much every category now. So like that game was tough to watch, but Rick was talking about adjustments, right, that the Knicks can make. And here's one. Tibbs is a defensive specialist, and it seems like the Heat come down there. They're swinging the ball around, and everyone is open, and they have their pick of what shot they want to take. And that's ridiculous or inconceivable. Like, that shouldn't be happening, and we need to make an adjustment on, like, assignments, who's going where, so we can get in their face, because that's not happening to us. We're not swinging the ball around. We're making passes across the court, risky passes to get open shots. And two is the obvious thing, right? Loose balls, hustling, Josh Hart running across. Like, there was a play where everyone was on the court, right? It was wide open. A ball bounced in the middle. And Martin hustled through and stole and got the loose ball. Like, come on.
They get to everything.
This isn't Knicks bad.
Well, you know, maybe it is. I mean, this certainly is Miami basketball.
Yeah, it's Miami basketball, but see, that's my biggest problem I have with people now, too, with the adjustments and everything else. It's just, I get what you're saying, and I think Spo is an amazing coach, and maybe he is getting out-coached, that's fine, but you also have to have players go out and do what they're supposed to do. Like, Tibbs can't make you go out and want the loose ball. You got to go out and get it. You can make the adjustments, whatever adjustments you want on the defensive end. A lot of what defense is how hard you want to work. Like, there were a couple plays yesterday with Julius Randle that just, it did not look like he was trying on defense.
Which is unacceptable.
Like, and Mitchell Robinson apparently didn't have the energy he needed.
Well, hopefully he does game five.
So, I mean, yeah, cause I don't think people are all the way wrong. I think Tibbs should bear some of the criticism here, too. But end of the day, man, you can make as many adjustments as you want. If the players aren't going out there and executing or giving you the kind of effort that you need, then, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't go out there and play for them.
No. And they're not playing good basketball right now. And they're being out-hustled and out-efforted and out-everything. RJ, did I see there was a guy that was on hold before that said he almost had a baby mix-up at the hospital? What's going on with RJ?
He's probably answering phone calls.
No,
maybe?
He's not. I made sure that he wasn't.
I hit enter. I just hung up. I'm sorry. What about the baby?
Did I see someone was on hold before that said they almost had a baby mix-up at the hospital?
Yeah, he had to go. He said, so he and someone at the hospital, when he had his child, they gave their child the I guess just by happenstance, I didn't ask what his last name was. They had a very common last name, I suppose. Same exact name, same exact spelling.
Wow.
That's horrifying.
He said, you need to tag your child like you would tag your luggage
at
an airport.
They do. Yeah, it's like baby LoJack. Yeah, tags on the kids.
Yeah, he said it happened. He said they tried to give him the wrong kid.
Could you imagine that?
But he going into it regardless, not knowing the name situation.
How did he know?
He tagged his child.
He did it on, what kind of hospital did he go to?
I don't know.
It's like a catch and release program.
Smart man. Oh, my God.
You know what you should do, RJ? Sign the baby. Right on the buttock.
I should have both of you sign it. You're celebrities.
I'd sign the baby.
Send
buttock.
It in. I'll sign it. Yeah.
Send it in? Like the cards. Just send it right in. Send it right in.
One for each of you. One buttocks on the left, one on the right.
One cheek for each of us. You sign it. And then when you're leaving, you take down the diapers. You're like, oh, there's the signatures. And we can
hold on.
Right,
hold on. That's him.
Yep. There he is. My little guy.
RJ, have you practiced, like, has Ange practiced swaddling you or anything for when this? Because that's the tough part.
Swaddling.
The swaddling is tough.
Swaddling, not easy.
Not easy.
As a parent of a child that has been swaddled, I don't like it. It feels
hard.
Like it doesn't make sense.
Well, they don't want because the baby's arms wake them up.
I understand that, but it doesn't feel like you should wrap someone to the point where they can't move
their
appendages.
When the nurse does it.
I don't like it.
It's tight.
I don't like it. RJ, do you know anything about swaddling?
Nah, I've never done it. I've begun to watch videos, and that wasn't very nice. I hope you get stuck in traffic on the way home.
Who?
Rick.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.